You don't need another report. Bleeding green till I D.I.E. Hold it down for the best team. We in first place, we the Celtics. Try to shoot it, we ain't let ya. Finna goin' when it rain. Giving fades like I'm Kyrie. You the opposition, can't score yet. Homie, you ain't even on the floor yet. Big buckets and big shots. Better check the time on the shot clock. Got my shooters on me, they wet you up. It's a 30-footer, I ain't letting up. Scary Terry with the dancing bear. Gonna light it up like it ain't fair. Dunk it on you like Rozier. Fourth quarter, we in fifth gear. I got Tatum, I got Brown. I got Marcus locking you down. Grab a broom, it's a sweep. Score 100 on our feet. Celtics pulse, we the team. And we don't accept defeat, yeah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Celtics Pulse Podcast, part of the Pulse Sports Network here. And also, new news, we have a new app, iOS and Android. Go check us out at Pulse Network Sports, I believe is what it is. Check it out. Download the app. It has all of the podcasts here, not just the Celtics Pulse Podcast, but everyone within our network. Everything that you want is what you got there on that app.
Shout out to Cody for completely butchering the app name. Be sure to check it out, though, guys. He got all the details right. It is the Pulse Podcast Network. Be sure to check it out.
So we are here with Derek and John, hosted by me, Cody. And we are going to talk about the last few Celtics games and a couple other topics along the way. So let's start off with the Nets game that happened on the 7th. That game was a 116-95 win in the Celtics' favor. I'm not going to say no really great performances, but a lot of good performances for a lot of players. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players in double figures. And that's where the basketball they've been playing. Derek, do you like the style of basketball where everyone's getting involved?
Well, yeah, you got to like it when they're sharing the ball and playing, you know, cohesive 8 guys in double figures. I think that's a bit much to expect every night, but anything above 5 guys in double figures, I think, usually bodes well.
It's one of those situations where no one had a star-studded game. Kyrie was the leading scorer with 17 points, and he's had 6 assists. And his game this year is really elevated. I mean, last year, he was the main offensive guy to score the basket. And he still is that this year, but he is facilitating a lot more. I believe he's having a career high in assists this year. He's really put his whole heart into the let's get wins no matter what the cost is.
Yeah, what's interesting about the Nets game is that we had 8 guys in double figures, and Jaylen Brown was not one of them. That's a bit interesting there, because he had been on a heater, you know, his last like 6 games, averaging almost 20 points a game. So that is interesting that he scored 4 points. But again, when you win by 20, you know, you'll take it.
The one thing, and this has been a problem the last few games that I've noticed, and John, Daniel Theis, he doesn't look like he's ready to play all these minutes. He just looks like he's getting destroyed every game.
Not the Theis that we saw last year, right? Last year, Theis was the guy that we put into the high-energy group, and he was out there for his defensive prowess, started to knock down the 3 a little bit, started to show a little bit more range, had some tenacity. Then obviously he got that knee injury, was out. Really doesn't seem like he's come back from that knee 100%. Doesn't have the same explosion that I saw last year. And I know that's saying not much because, I mean, he's not known as an explosive player. But that tenacity that he had down on the low block and in the wing doesn't seem to be there this year. And also, the 3s aren't falling like they started to last year. So there's something going on. Maybe his conditioning. Maybe it's the rotation. And this year we've now have all these guys healthy like Hayward, Irving. But he just doesn't seem to be the same player that we started to see before that injury last year.
That might be a little harsh because his field goal percentage this year is identical to what it was last year. His points, he's averaging 7 a game. Last year, he averaged like 6. So I will say on the defensive end, I haven't been excited. On the offensive end, I haven't been as displeased.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying with that, but we also have to take into effect when you look at his numbers last year and the points per game that he was averaging last year. Almost the first half of the season, he wasn't seeing the minutes that he was for that maybe last 3-4 weeks when he really started to click. We started to see him adjust to the North American game and started to really gel with the team. Because if you remember, at the beginning of the year, he really wasn't getting many minutes. He was averaging maybe 2 points a game. He was out there just for defensive breathers for people. And I'm just not seeing the same guy. Maybe it's just the eye test, but I'm not seeing the same guy that I saw right before he got hurt last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. He did have a pretty major injury that he's coming back from, too. So, like everybody, it seems, on the team, everybody's coming back from something. But Tice, as far as a seventh, eighth guy off the bench, is as good as really anybody in the league has that I can think of here. I will reserve judgment on Tice for at least another month or so. Yeah, I haven't been as unsatisfied with him as maybe you guys.
I like Tice. I think he's a good player, but the role he's playing right now, which is the primary backup big, that's not the role he should be playing. And the only reason he's playing it is because Aaron Baines is hurt. Once Baines comes back and you give Tice his regular minutes, I think that's where he can be effective. With the 12 to 15 minutes that he would normally get, I think that's good. When he's playing these 20-minute, 22-minute games, facing guys like Embiid, guys like Capella, even guys like Jared Allen, who he actually did a pretty good job keeping Allen to only 6 points. But when he's playing these good big men, like you said, the knee is still a problem. I mean, he tore, I believe, his meniscus. Serious as an ACL or whatever, but it's still a serious knee injury. And he's not a big body. He's a tall guy and a lanky guy, but he's not a beefy dude. He's not a Baines who can take three shoulders to the chest and then keep him moving like nothing happened.
I think he's a good player. I'm not trying to knock him saying he's a huge problem. It's just what I saw last year. And obviously, like we said, and that's why I brought it up at the very beginning before I said anything about him. That knee injury, as you said, was pretty significant. A meniscus is part of your lateral line on your knee. And going left to right is a big problem. Well, obviously, if you're a big man and you have to guard these guys in a low block, you're going to be doing a lot of left to right. So with that happening, he doesn't have that same jump. And I think just like Hayward, you're going to see it come back pretty quickly during playoff time. We obviously have a huge amount of riches, and this is a problem that, honestly, a lot of teams in the NBA would love to have.
I think on a lot of teams not named the Warriors and Celtics, Tice is a borderline starter. I think he's that good. I mean, I think he's a very good player. So if you want to keep him under 20 minutes for the sake of our team, I get that. And I obviously, like you had mentioned, matching him up against bigs, like last night, Whiteside and Bam just kind of had their way. So,
yep.
But it was also a third game in 4 nights, back-to-back, on the road. So I'm not saying don't react to last night, but you could put it in behind you. It's nothing.
Yeah. All right. So moving on. So the Nets was a very good win, expected win against the Nets. And then we came face the Pacers 2 days later. This was a game on the 9th, so 2 nights ago, and the Celtics came to play. Pacers are right now just one spot above them in the East at the 4th spot, as the Celtics are in the 5, and the Celtics whooped the Pacers 135-108. Jason Tatum had 11 points in the first 5 minutes of the game. Finished with 20. Jaylen Brown had 22. Marcus Morris had 22. Another one of those nights where not one player had a really, really, really great game, but a lot of players had really, really good games. Tice with 12, Rozier with 12, Hayward with 14, Kyrie with 12 in only 24 minutes. Al got some rest with only 18 minutes, 22 from Morris, 20 from Jaylen. So another one of those examples of everyone was getting involved in the offense and not one player was scoring 30, 35. And they played really, really well defensively, holding the Pacers to only 108.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely a big win. Again, a team that you're trying to chase down to get better seeding. The Pacers, kind of like the Celtics last night, were playing like their fourth game, 6 or 5 nights or something. So I expected them to win. You know, 130-plus points, though, is always encouraging when you're playing, I think, one of the top five defensive teams in the league. So, yeah, I mean, it was a nice win. Tatum came out the gate aggressive, which is always good when he's not forcing it. It was a lot of layups as opposed to, you know, ISO fadeaways. It was just a really nice team win, and getting Al some rest, always a good thing because you need playoff Al. What are your thoughts, guys?
What I really liked was the ball movement. Again, the Nets game, we had 37 assists. This game, we had 32 assists. It seems that they're really starting to take and gel. You know, we had that problem at the beginning of the year. Guys not knowing when to take a shot, which created bad shot selection. There wasn't a lot of movement with the ball. We're now starting to see that Brad Stevens offense.
Well, I think you got to give some credit to the Marcus Smart switch too. I mean,
he is big time. He has just changed.
I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that he is not only earned the starting spot for the rest of the year, but I mean, if you want to win, he's a player you start and he plays 30 plus minutes. And if that means Jalen takes a back seat, at the beginning of the season, I was probably against this. Now I've changed my tune because the proof is in the pudding.
Right. And he's always been a player, even since we drafted him, did a lot of the small things well, could pass the ball well, could defend well, could even rebound well for a guard. His knock was always didn't have an outside shot, couldn't create that. Now we're starting to see right now he's starting to nail down those shots. His jumper has gotten infinitely better in the past year and a half.
He's lethal right now. He is right. Lethal from three because I think teams like kind of got the memo, oh, okay, Marcus is the non-shooter on the floor, so you can back off him. And he's just feasting.
Because we're all Celtics fans. Especially last year, we watched a game, makes a great defensive play. You think everything's going well. We've got momentum. And then he just, in transition, clanks a three.
Shot selection is everything.
Yeah. He's nailing shots. He's taking it to the rim. He's being aggressive. If this is the true smart player, and obviously Ainge being the god that he is, always foresees everything. If he's really blended into that guy that can now shoot, we've got a top 15, 20 player on our hands for everything that he does in the game. Whether it's his passes, his tenacity on defense, the way he rebounds the ball, the way he can get in other players' heads. Now he's scoring. That brings his game to a whole different level. And like you had said, and I totally agree, with him starting, now you see a lot more spacing on the floor. You see a lot more ball movement with Kyrie, although he's putting up bigger assist numbers, hasn't had that shoulder as much during that streak that they had on the offense.
Let me offer this as a talking point. Now, the whole season, everyone's been getting on Jaylen's case, Jaylen Brown's case. Last night had 2 points. The night before that had 22 points. And then against the Nets, he had 4 points. And he's been on and off ever since going to the bench. He'll have a couple good 18 to 20-point games, 2-point game. Now, am I crazy, or is his struggles offensively, do they not remind you of a young Marcus Smart? Look at Marcus Smart, his second year in the league, his first year in the league. You look at Jaylen Brown now, they look very, very similar in the way that what they're doing.
I mean, on the offensive Smart, end, sure.
Yeah. Defensively, yes, Jaylen has, it looked like, regress, and we'll get that into a minute after we do the Heat game. But Jaylen's still a very, very good defender. Since he's been in the NBA, he's been a plus defender. Marcus Smart might be an elite defender, but the defense is...
Marcus Smart is one of like two guys in the league that can guard all five positions and guard them very well.
I agree. So, yeah. But Jaylen Brown's no slouch defensively either.
Oh, absolutely not. He's a wing stopper.
Yeah, he really is. He's extremely good defensively. But all this flack that Jaylen is getting right now, and people are like, trade him, get him out. This is reminding me a lot of Marcus Smart, where offensively Marcus Smart sort of separates him offensively from Jaylen. He's a good playmaker. And Jaylen's not that great of a playmaker. He'll give you 2 assists, 3 assists a night. But Marcus Smart will give you 6 to 7. So that's the one thing. But offensively, in Marcus Smart's third, fourth, even 2 years ago, last year, he wasn't great. He's only shot over 40% from the field like twice. I don't think he's ever shot over 30% from three. I mean, he really isn't that, other than this year, hasn't really been that great. So why are a lot of people putting all this blame on Jaylen when Marcus Smart was doing a lot of the same stuff? And Marcus Smart was a 6th overall pick. So it's not like the whole, oh, Jaylen was the 3rd overall pick. He should be a superstar by now.
And Marcus was older. I mean, in fairness, Marcus, what was he, a junior? We drafted him his junior year.
So he was 20 when he got in the league, or 21 when he got in the league. Jaylen was
exactly. 19. Yeah, so 2 years. I mean, that's a big deal when you're talking about young kids. But, yeah, I mean, there's definitely some comparison points there. But, just with what we saw last year from Jaylen, I just think the expectations were higher.
No, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
That's what he set the bar pretty high. I mean, I will say in the Philadelphia series in the playoffs last year, what did he average, like 19 points a game? I mean, he was the Celtics' leading scorer. And for a 22-year-old sophomore year in the NBA, you're setting the bar high, and then you got two other guys on your team that are also, you know, top lottery picks that are studs like Tatum and Smart. So we're holding these guys to high bars. And Jalen was due a little bit of market correction, I guess. I think he will be fine. And I mean, obviously, outside of the New Jersey game and the Heat game a little bit, recently he's been at least scoring like we saw last year a little more consistently.
I agree with that. Jalen did set the bar pretty high last year. And I remember saying, wow, I didn't think Jalen Brown was going to be this good this quick. I thought that last year's Jalen Brown would be like this year's Jalen Brown. And this year would have been last year. You know, like the season would have flipped. I thought it would take a Jalen a little bit more. Not saying he's ever going to be that again, but maybe he flashed a little early and he's going to take another year or two to really develop his game. I've been on the podcast since we started this year, you know, saying that Jalen is just a role thing. It's just him trying to find his rhythm and him trying to really find his own in the offense. It takes time. I mean, a lot of these players, all these people on Twitter just think it's 2K where you put everyone on a team and it works.
I think there's a couple factors when comparing Smart and Brown. The Smart draft, if you remember, wasn't crazy deep. The first overall and second overall picks were kind of high, but we all knew that having that sixth pick, that's why Danny was trying to deal it so much, was because there just really wasn't the bang for the buck there versus Jalen was seen as a scorer coming out of college. Smart was not. We knew that it was going to take time for Smart to develop his shot, whereas Jalen already had some moves and knew how to shot. And I think a major thing that's a difference is maybe body language and how they hustle. And I know it's hard to quantify that. And we'll get into a little bit later about the altercation with Marcus Smart and Jalen Brown last night. But even when Morris and Jalen Brown.
No worries.
I think it's the body language. It's when Jalen's scoring and he's getting the ball and he's allowed to drive the lane, he seems to be all about the game. And last year, he was one of the main scorers, so we didn't really have to see him rotation, third option guy. Whereas Smart, no matter if Smart went 0-for-10 in a game or he went 10-for-10 in a game, you knew exactly what you were getting out of Smart every game. He was going to play his ass off. He was going to play D. He was going to make it difficult for other teams. And if his shots weren't coming down, then he was going to find any way possible to try to help the team. Whereas Brown, it seems, and I don't want to say that this kid's a malcontent, we need to get rid of him. I'm not going to that aspect, but what I'm saying is it seems as though, and sometimes you do see this with young players, especially when they've always been the number one option wherever they went, whether it's high school, whether it's college. Even last year when he was one of the main options with Tatum when Hayward went down, and especially when Kyrie went down, he seems to mope a little bit. He doesn't get back on defense if he's not getting the ball. He only was able to take, what, 5 shots? He was 1-for-5, right? And I think you see that when he plays defense. Sometimes he seems disinterested. But when he's scoring or he's getting the ball or he's able to handle the ball, he seems to take a little bit more enthusiasm with defense. And especially in Boston, when you have guys, old school guys, like ML Carr and Heinchen and these guys that – weren't exactly getting the ball all the time, but still had that tenacity. And that's why Boston loves Smart. And I think that's why right now Brown's getting a little criticism is, okay, you're not the main scorer. We have these superstars. You need to do what's necessary for this team to win because we need to win now.
Take that topic and let's move it into the Heat game last night. And the Heat game last night, for all those who had the unfortunate to watch, that wasn't the greatest Celtic performance. And the one big thing to take away from that game was Marcus Morris and Jalen Brown getting into a tiny scuffle during a timeout, which has been alluded to the entire duration of this podcast. So basically, I don't know if it's official, but there were speculations. It was Jalen not hustling on defense, missed an assignment. Marcus Morris got a little bit upset with him. It looked like Jalen said something under his breath or something. And then Marcus Morris was like, I'm not having that. Give him a little shove. That's my understanding of the whole thing. So let's start with that. Derek, big deal, not that big of a deal. Go.
Not a big deal, but it's definitely something, Eric. You've heard the murmurs on Twitter of potentially Jalen not happy with his role. Do I believe it? Nah. You know, last night was the first time I actually saw any evidence of it. So, I mean, at the end of the day, Morris is a veteran. He's a leader. You know, there's a few leaders on this team, but Morris is definitely one of them. I think with his play this year and last year, he's earned that position where if a young kid who he knows has great potential and is laxing on defense and missing assignments, you know, Morris is going to step up. And, you know, that's what Mook does, man. He's, you know, so I don't think it's a big deal. It's a young kid getting, you know, getting a little lesson on the court there. It's just it was in front of the cameras as opposed to maybe in the locker room. But, you know, that shit happens. And, yeah, what do you guys think?
Yeah, John, your take?
I think he needed it. As I had stated before, he seems to sometimes mope when he's not getting the ball. He's not getting his minutes. I mean, you think about the minutes that he averaged last year. He averaged over 20 minutes last year. And last night, he only got 13 in a game where they needed to score. I like it. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I think this happens a lot, especially on late in teams, especially with a strong personality and Marcus Morris. He's the type of guy that has always been known as a hustler and as he wants to win at all costs, and he's going to get in your face if you don't feel the same way. And sometimes young guys kind of overstep the boundaries and veterans need to put them in their place. Last year, I think with the role that Brown had to take it on the team, there really wasn't the need for that, but maybe this year, you know, he's a little disgruntled. Morris needs to put him in his place. And as long as it doesn't continue on, as long as we don't hear any rumors in the locker room, I think this is fine. It's just a part of the game. And like you guys had stated before, it just happened to happen on the bench instead of the locker room. This kind of stuff happens all the time between teammates. I mean, it's 82 games a season. There's a lot of different personalities.
And it was a blowout loss. I mean, you can't discount that. I mean, it's a prideful group of guys.
Right. Nobody, until they made that 16-0 run, nobody was making shots. It's the third game of four nights. They're obviously tired. They had to catch, it was a back-to-back. They had to catch a late flight, get in, maybe got to sleep maybe 3 hours. And we all know how we are if we're on 3 hours of sleep. I mean, I know personally. It might have just been that. Now I'm interested now how one, Jalen reacts on Saturday, and two, if anything comes from this. And I honestly don't see that. I just think Morris is one of those locker room glue guys that he felt that he needed to take that point. And I think Jalen's a great character guy, and I think you're going to see a little bit.
Big boy. He can take it. He's definitely, you know, he seems to have.
He's a great character guy, too.
Exactly. He's a good kid. Definitely is a good kid. So I'm all for it. You know, him bouncing back. He's got a lot of talent. And yeah, I mean, I think this will be, you know, a distant memory, you know, in a couple, you know, month at the most. Unless, of course, there's another altercation, but I don't think so.
I think Jalen will go off on Saturday. If this is getting the media coverage that it is, I think his type of personality and character, it might not show up in the score sheet, so to say, on Saturday. But I think you're going to see a really engaged Jalen Brown on the floor on Saturday.
Yeah, well, there you go. If you're a daily fantasy player, Jalen Brown is a little sneaky play.
There you go. You got to pay back, Cotton.
Exactly. But I will say another thing, too, to take away from the Heat game, man, is Wade looks awesome. This guy is just...
Right.
Wow. I mean, it's supposed to be his last year, and he looks great, man. Just efficient, has no problem coming off the bench. And, you know, I mean, he gets up for Boston. Don't think he doesn't. I mean, if Wade has, you know, one rival in his career, much like LeBron, it is the Celtics. And he takes pride in playing against them. So I don't think he was going to lose, you know, at home to the Celtics in his farewell tour. So, again, the loss wasn't shocking by any means. And, you know, you take the L and you move on. You're gonna have a lot of success in the future. But just watching Wade, the fact he didn't fit in Cleveland last year is just beyond me. How does he not fit on any team coming off the bench? Just makes no sense. But what a great player. And last couple nights got to see Dirk, who didn't look. Dirk needs to retire. I mean, I think he's done. But whatever.
He's done.
Yeah, but Wade's got some gas in the tank.
I think he does. And what are your thoughts, guys, on this Heat team? They're not obviously losing to get a lottery pick, but they're not exactly.
Yeah, they'll be one and done. My prediction: one and done. They'll be a bottom half of the Eastern Conference playoffs. They'll run into one of these really good teams like the Celtics, Raptors, Bucks, Pacers, yeah. Sixers. You know, so they're not in that tier, but they're definitely right below it. They are a good team. They
just play. They play hard. I mean, it looks like they're playing for Dwayne Wade. I mean, like every single night they come and compete, and they're missing Dragic too. So their point guard's is out. Like their star player basically is out. So
I don't know if he's still a star anymore. Dragic kind of gotten older and has had a lot of injury issues. I mean, I like Dragic. They got Richardson, who's a good player. Justice Winslow. Finally, I think Danny feels validated now because Justice Winslow has been playing great. So
they're probably giving him the chance to be the player that he is. High flying, athletic.
Well, he's hitting shots too. I mean, that was the thing on Winslow for like the first 5 years he couldn't shoot. So
career high 11 assists last night.
That too. So they're facilitating the offense through him, and they got two legit big men in Bam and Whiteside, who I like. The Whiteside, I like Bam a little more just because Whiteside has the mentally sometimes. Yeah, he's got a little. I don't want to bash him because last night he played fine and he is good when he's engaged. But yeah, so the Heat are a solid team. Just don't think they're in the same tier as the five teams I listed.
Yeah. Even with Dwayne Wade,
this team in the playoffs, right? I mean, because we might face them.
I would love to face them. That's fine. I'll take that.
I think one game when you're played three games of four nights is a lot different than a seven game series.
Right.
They don't have that difference maker player. They have Dwayne Wade, but he's like what 37. Like I don't see him doing that every single game in the playoffs. They don't have that bona fide guy that they can just go give me 35 tonight. They don't have
that. Yeah, go get a bucket. No, I agree. But I will say, though, this is why the Celtics need to get at least a top three seed. Because if you end up a four seed, instead of getting a Miami or Brooklyn, you're looking at Philly or Indiana in the first round. And that's.
I know.
Yeah, that's why you got to get that three seed. Because you got the top two seeds right now, Milwaukee, Toronto, and then. What is Indy in third right now? And we're right behind them with Philly there too. Some type of order. So getting that three seed and getting an easier first round matchup. And then, obviously you're going to have to go on the road in the second round. But, not obvious. Well, yeah, it's pretty obvious. The one and the two seeds, Milwaukee and Toronto, assuming Kawhi and Giannis don't get, I always say Giannis. I'm never going to say Giannis. Sorry. So it's probably pronounced Giannis, but, anyways, what I was saying is as long as those two don't get hurt, they'll advance past the first round, and then we'll have to face one of them too, would be my guess.
How about this? Okay, so moving on to a different topic. Robert Williams, last night, he played very, very well, and he sort of helped provide that spark that sort of helped cap off that 16-0 run. John, you think he should be getting a little more playing time?
I think when it's all said and done this year, he's going to be a major component in the rotation. I think he's starting to understand the NBA game. We all knew that he was insanely athletically gifted. I mean, you see it all the time on the floor. I think he's bought in. I think that him being late for the meeting and missing that flight are way behind him. I think he's taken that into stride. He's listened to the veterans. And the more he keeps learning on the floor, the more he's just going to keep doing what he does. And with his athletic prowess and his defense, I mean, he was jumping off. It's like he was jumping out the roof last night. I mean, the kid is just – that dunk that he had a couple of nights ago, I think it was against the Pacers, right, where they threw that alley-oop up. And he came out of nowhere almost like he was at the foul line, and he was as tall as the backboard. I mean, the kid is just – I'm a huge believer in Robert Williams. Huge believer. I think he's got the right mindset.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm a huge believer too, but I don't know if Brad will trust him in the playoffs. Now, I guess it's all matchup based. So let's say we do get Miami in the first round and they've clearly got two bigs that can cause trouble, like Whiteside and Bam down in the block. So, maybe Williams gets a little extra run to try to offset that. But outside of like matchups, you know, specific, I don't know if Brad, because he hasn't shown that he's trusted him yet. He hasn't been playing any major minutes. And like last night was kind of in mop-up duty. So I'm a big Robert Williams fan too. Young DeAndre Jordan and all that. But I just haven't seen him play in a tight game meaningful minutes yet.
Yeah, I think a big reason that, like, even coming out of college, like, I watch college basketball. So I've seen him the last 2 years when he's in A&M. And he obviously, athleticism was there. And what we see is what we're really getting. You know, a pick and roll lob threat. He's not going to really offer you any much of that offensively. And I think defensively, he's good, but he's still pretty raw. I mean, he'll block shots, he'll get steals, but there are some times where he'll miss a rotation because he's trying to block a shot. His rebounding is good, but still needs a little bit of work. I've been on the train of, I think we still need to go get a big man at the deadline. I still say play Rob Williams, play him when you need him to. I still think he's not quite ready. You know, as much as Celtics Twitter is going to hate that, I don't believe in Time Lord. I do. Trust me. I do. I just don't think right now. And like you said, Darren, trusting you in the playoffs. I think you just need a more experienced guy there in the playoffs.
So I think that's where you wait for buyouts, you know, because it seems like do you really want to make a major trade? No, I mean, I don't think so. Because what are you going to get that's going to, you know, that you don't have to give up equal? So you wait for the buyout, see what's out there. And I think that would be the best move there. But getting Baines back will help. And Horford getting a little healthier too. I mean, like, you know, I think when he's because when they are all healthy, you'll see Baines, you'll see maybe a little bit of Time Lord, but you're going to mainly see Horford at the five, and then Morris, Tatum, you know, Jalen, Smart, Kyrie, Tice, that type of rotation.
No, I'm not saying, and let me give a caveat. I'm not saying that he's ready now. I still think he's not ready for major minutes now, but progress that he's made from the beginning of the season till now, if that correlates the rest of the season and he keeps putting in the extra hours that he has been, I mean, he made the comment, I don't even know what day it is because I'm always at the gym. He keeps doing that. Maybe I'm a little bit too optimistic. People always told me I'm a little bit like that, especially with the Celtics. I think that he's going to be a difference maker. Will he be playing 20 minutes a game? No. I think he'll playoffs 10, 12.
Yeah, so I'm with your optimism. I actually
reach, but I think I think he is going to give us that tenacity. He has an attitude too, right, on the floor. I mean, we need some of that. We got it in Morris a little bit. But other than that, I mean, Kyrie – Jalen doesn't. Tatum is a quieter guy. Sometimes he'll flash that, you know, that swag. But, I mean, when he blocked Davis and just stared him down, I'm like, yeah, I can get behind this guy.
Yeah, I mean, his skill set is exactly what the Celtics have been looking for ever since, you know, the end of the Big Three era. I mean, a true rim protector who can get rebounds. I mean, we haven't had a big man like that since a KG, since a Perkins, and it's been a while. It's been almost 10 years, if you really do think about it. I mean, Al Horford, how great he is, and he is a good, you know, he's not that great of a rebounder. He's a good rim protector, but he's not that intimidating force down low. And then, obviously, we had the rebuilding years where we had Chris Wilcox or whoever the fuck we threw out there, you know?
No, I remember.
His skill set is something that forever, for the last 10 years, the Celtics have been looking for, a rim-protecting, rebounding big man who's defensive-oriented. And that's something that if he can develop into that young DeAndre Jordan, which people are, you know, putting that tag on him right now, that would be perfect for the Celtics team. That's the one thing, if you look at all the – because the NBA is turning into not what position you can play, but what role you can give me. So everybody needs a ball handler, a shooter, someone who can create off the dribble. And, you know, Kyrie's all of that. And then you have Tatum that can do all that. And you need a rebounder, big man, defensive wings. That's what the NBA is turning into. It's not what position do you play, but what skill can you give me on the floor? And the one skill that the Celtics have been lacking for basically, like I said, the last 10 years is a true rebounder and shot blocker in one.
And he can run the floor too. He's not like an Andre Drummond where you got to get him in the low post. He has trouble getting into transition. I mean, the kid can fly.
Last night on the fast break, he was Kyrie.
Yeah, I mean, him and Smart last night were like, we got this at one point. I'm not saying the whole game. Obviously, we lost. So, I mean, it wasn't great. But that 16-hour run was started by Smart and Williams.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I'm all for getting Williams more minutes as well for another reason. It's more of a long-term one, but you create more value, trade value, and he's in the package for AD. So I know we all – so I mean, if you're New Orleans and you're going to trade AD, wouldn't you like Robert Williams, another big man, you know, who's looks like a young DeAndre Jordan, and then, you know, include other assets that the Celtics will? Obviously, Robert Williams wouldn't be the center point of a AD trade, but I'm sure New Orleans would ask for him. Again, right. I'm just thinking long term as well. If we do go in the AD sweepstakes, you know, or if another big guy became available. I always hold out hope that the Minnesota shit show includes them blowing it up, and then maybe Cat became available. But you know, that's kind of me going off on a tangent.
Yeah, I think medium term, if that's even a thing, also with Bane's injury, we know the Celtics are good. We know this team is built to win a championship. This isn't a team where we made the playoffs, great, fantastic. If we don't get the conference finals, this season's going to be considered a bust. Him getting more minutes now, and even when Baines gets back, keep Baines' minutes maybe a little bit lower, save him for the bigger games so that he's fully healthy for that playoff stretch run, that February, that March time. Because we all know this, you know, I'm just real quick, I'm a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, diehard. I'm from Pittsburgh, been watching my whole entire life. And every year, and I see it with the Celtics this year, every year in October and November and December, everybody, it's like the sky's falling because they're not dominating people and they're not winning these games. But then, you know, March, April show up and it's a totally different team. I feel like that's the Celtics right now. They're not looking at winning all three games and four nights in the back-to-back. They won the two that they were focused on those two games. And I think it's the same way as they know that they need to get this team prepared for what's going to be coming, not what is in the now. They're not the Heat. They don't have to win two out of three all the time because they know that they're going to be clawing and grabbing for a playoff spot. And I really like what I'm seeing right now. And obviously we were correct because the past 20 games – you know, they're first in offensive rating. They're first in points per game. They're first in assists per game. They're playing better defense. This team's starting to gel, and I think with Robert Williams getting a little bit more minutes just gives us another asset where maybe we can keep Baines and Tice's minutes a little bit lower because of their injuries. Baines, not so much because it was a hand injury. It was a freak injury. But Tice, with his knee, we already brought it up earlier. He doesn't look like the same player, the same guy that we had last year. It's probably the knee. Let him get healthier because we're going to need him in those seven-game series matchups.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Get Williams a regular 15 to 20 minutes a game, not just mop-up duties. I'm with it all the way. I mean, like you said, give guys like Tyson, Horford, you know, less minutes to get them right. I'm all for it, and I mean, as far as your comparison with the Penguins there, it's a good comparison as far as, you know, what happens in October and November really doesn't matter. But the only major difference there is that in the NBA, home court is way more important than home ice in the NHL. Home ice can be a factor, but in the NHL, you see a 6-7, sometimes even an 8 seed make the finals. In the NBA, that is an anomaly. That doesn't happen. So, and again, the Celtics aren't going to be a 6-7-8 seed, but as I had mentioned earlier, I think you got to get a top three seed to give yourself the road, the best possible road as far as going to the finals. So, I mean, if you could get the top two seeds, that'd be great. But Milwaukee and Toronto have been kind of tearing it up lately. So, you know, we'll see how this works, you know, shakes out, you know, the next month or so. But I think that a top three seed has to be the goal right now.
Yeah, I agree. And real quick, can we talk about what Charles Barkley said real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. He's always looking to score.
I tweeted about that, and I have never laughed so hard in my life when I saw that.
Al Horford is the most unselfish max player I have ever seen.
He is the opposite of a selfish player. It's such a ridiculous statement. And I like Chuck. I love Chuck. He's like a national treasure, if you will. But sometimes, in fact, especially lately, he mails it in, man. He just doesn't do his homework.
At him on the set, like, what game are you watching?
Exactly. I mean, and I remember there was a big talking point that Kyrie needs to take less shots. And then this morning, and some guy posted that in the last, like, few games, Kyrie is 24th in the league in shots attempted per game.
It's just asinine. So he's just going off of what he thinks is happening.
What he just saw. He saw the night before. Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, the Celtics, even last night, how bad last night was, the Celtics last 2 weeks have been playing the basketball we want them to be playing. They've been playing extremely well ever since Christmas and the right before Christmas. I mean, they had a bad loss to San Antonio, a bad loss to Miami. Other than that, they've been winning against pretty decent teams, and they've been playing really, really, really well.
You don't go 15-5 by accident.
Yeah, I mean, they've been playing quite well. They just had that one game where they just get rocked by a team they shouldn't get rocked by, and then everyone just, you know, throws the season out the window because that's how Boston fans work.
Huh. I mean, at the beginning of the year, though, they were losing some. Want to put your head through a wall. I mean, you're losing at home to Orlando. You're losing at home to the Knicks. But again, this was months ago, so we're not going to dwell on it, obviously. But those games could come back and bite them in the ass when it comes to getting a top three, two seed. So, you know, those games are meaningless. I just don't think that's the case at all. I mean, last night's loss, I can see. I cannot see the losses that we had early in the year at home against lottery teams. So, again, I think it's
what's the saying? You can't win a division in April, but you can sure as hell lose it.
Yep.
This is true. I mean, that is a baseball saying, but it is true.
Right. I mean, it's a baseball saying, but it applies here.
Universally. No, totally. Right. I was just adding context for any listeners that might not get that. I totally got it, but some listeners, me and Cody are baseball guys, so we get it. But no, I mean, it's so true. I mean, you can't lose a division, like you said, you can't win a division in October, November, but you can definitely cost yourself some games that'll lose you. You know, another example is the Patriots. They should have been the one seed in the AFC, but they had the fluky loss to Miami. And now we gotta play the Chargers, and then we're gonna have to go on the road.
Don't forget Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit,
we just lost outright. Like, we got all played. That was just a loss. That's an L. The Miami game was like, fuck is Gronk? Gronk? On one leg? What am I watching? Not even, I mean, I'm assuming he's on one leg because he's just not the same guy.
He's all one leg. He just is a leg.
I know. So you come for Celtics talk, you get Patriots too. But, you know, especially in January, you get Patriots talk as well because it's playoff time. But, yeah, it's just. It's like you see those games that you're like, oh, well, we're just on to the next one. Okay, and that's a good mindset because you have to move forward, but you can't not take into account the effect that has come the playoffs, you know, when it comes to seeding and who you have to play in the road to the finals or Super Bowl, like I was referencing. So, I mean, hopefully, you know, those losses don't become the difference between getting a 3 or 2 or 4 seed, but, you know, we'll see.
And I think that's why the casual fan gets all hyped up about when they lose a game like this Miami game, because they don't pay attention to the games like us. They don't see the difference in the team, or they don't see how the team's gelling, or the offensive mindset, or we all know.
So you're calling Charles Barkley casual.
Right, yeah.
And you might not be wrong. You might not be wrong.
I mean, the way he's been going, I mean.
You know,
he's a gambler is what he is. He gambles. He looks at the spread. That's what he does.
But these casual fans are just looking at either the paper or Yahoo, and they see the score and they see the score and they're not really paying attention as much as us. So when they lose a game like this, oh yeah, same old Celtics. Look what happened. This is like what they were last year. They don't take into account three games in, you know, 4 days back to back, beating the Pacers and the Nets because that's the one team that was below them, the one team that's above them. So you get these sky is falling type people. But I totally agree with you guys. You can't lose those type of games at the beginning of the year. You can lose, but you can't be losing to like lottery teams like the Knicks. That and get blown out. That can't happen because you're going to end up, like you said, it could be the difference between having home court in the first round and having to play a team like the Sixers or somebody like that. That is going to give you a lot of problems. Pacers, you're probably going to win that round, but now you exerted all that energy in the first round. Now you're coming up in the second round and you got to face a team like the Bucks or the Raptors or somebody like that. You're going to have to face one hell of a shit show.
Yeah, you're going to have to face one of those two, Bucks or the Raptors in the second round. I don't see the Bucks losing in the first round this year. They've definitely taken the next step in. You know, they might have the coach of the year. He was a great coach in Atlanta, too. I don't know why Atlanta got rid of him as Budenholzer. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yep, Coach Bud.
He's a good coach. I mean, everybody talks about Brad. Well, the Celtics stuck with Brad. Atlanta gave up on him after they traded everybody. They won 60 games in Atlanta with Al and Teague and who else am I forgetting?
Orbert.
Damari Carroll. Yeah, so they had like a – I know Carroll's kind of washed now, but, I mean, he was good then. They won 60 games with these good, I wouldn't say great players, and then Atlanta trades all the good players and then gets rid of him, and then Milwaukee – just fell in. Well, they didn't fall into him, but he happened to be available, and that could be the difference in them, you know, making a legit run at a finals appearance. I mean, they're good, and I think he has a lot to do with it. And obviously, Giannis and you know, and the rest of the team that they've put together. Getting Brooke Lopez was huge for them.
He's changed his game too, right?
So I think they got the coach of the year, and maybe he might be in for most improved player. I don't like giving most improved players to second and third year players because they're supposed to improve. But like a Brooke Lopez coming out and shooting, what's he at, like 45% from three?
Yeah.
Hey, great three-point shooter of all time. Changed my mind.
So it's like, you know, so again, I actually before the season, not to humble brag, but I've been saying Bucks, Celtics, and Eastern Conference Finals. We'll see if
I don't hate it. I think we match up.
Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, if you're in the Eastern Conference Finals, you're getting a good team, either Toronto, Milwaukee, maybe the Pacers. Philly, I'm not a believer in Philly, but, you know, I could be proven wrong. They've got the big names. But, yeah, I mean, the Bucks took the leap.
They had David Blatt on NBA.com yesterday. I was listening to it on SiriusXM, and they were talking about the Sixers situation with Butler. And he believes that both Butler and Simmons will not be on the 76ers next year.
I don't know about Simmons. I can see Butler.
Right, Simmons. They're saying Simmons will not be on that team next year.
So is Simmons tradable? And if so, if you're, again, when you talk about trading a Ben Simmons, you're obviously talking about trading for a superstar. So are we talking AD to Philly?
Is he a superstar, though?
Ooh, Simmons?
I don't think he's that.
He's a star. He's not a superstar. Yet. But if you're going to trade Ben Simmons, you're going to trade for a superstar because he's 21 and so good and on a rookie contract. So, I mean, I would be surprised if Philly shops Simmons. But if they see an opportunity to get Anthony Davis and...
Oh, man. Embiid and Davis on the same front court?
Yeah, it's almost like Anthony and Boogie Cousin. Imagine.
Right. I don't know. I'm not on the Simmons bandwagon, so to say.
I know the jump shot, but he's still good.
He's good. No. I'm not saying he's not good. Let me clarify that. I'm not saying that he's not good. He is. He's a top 25 player in the league right now. But he needs to develop some type of look of a shot. Not even like a really good shot, just something to keep defenses honest, because you're starting to see that this year. You saw it when the Celtics played him and frustrated him. Well, yeah, we're going to plug the lane on you. We're going to dare you to shoot from 16 feet, 17 feet. Go ahead, take the shot. We'll leave you wide open. We're not going to give you the lane. And he's passing it up, and they're starting to clog lanes. It's getting Embiid frustrated. This team, I don't know, man. They're regressing as the season has gone on, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I don't believe in Philly either. I could be wrong, but I just think, you know, you got Butler who, you know, is not the best locker room guy from what we've obviously, we've talked about this in the past too. And then you've got, you got Embiid who's not happy with the coach, or at least he wasn't, and I doubt he still is. So, I mean, I'm not a believer in Philly. I am a believer in the Pacers, even though they did not look great. You know, against the Celtics recently, but again, they were on the road and the fourth game in like six nights or something crazy. So, you know, you catch a team on an off night, that's going to happen, kind of like Miami last night. So, I think I am a believer in the Pacers though. And if the Pacers can make a move, you know, pick up a, I'm trying to think what they would legitimately use. I guess another scorer. I mean, they got Oladipo and then they've got Bogdanovich. Not to mention Miles Turner, who's a defensive. He's been very good defensively. And then they got Thaddeus Young, who's one of those very good, you know, solid, like, you know, 12, 5 and 5 guys. So I
don't forget my man. You can't forget my man.
Who am I forgetting? I'm
Sabonis, Sabonis, baby.
Oh, so you are correct.
Been playing well this year.
Yeah, he's been great, especially with Turner's been out the last couple of games, and Sabonis has been great. I mean, yeah, I mean, so that trade, I mean, Paul George for Sabonis and Oladipo, when it happened, anyone that happened to follow me then on Twitter would have seen that I was like, Indiana really just did this, what a terrible trade. And a lot of people had the same reaction, but I was wrong. I was dead wrong. I mean, Oladipo is a stud, and Sabonis is very good. I mean, he can play. So it was I think both teams were, you know, made out from the trade. It's always good to see that, where it's like a kumbaya trade.
So I think we're going to wrap it up here before we get too ahead of ourselves. Last thoughts, anybody?
No, just keep an eye on Jaylen, as we've been kind of doing all year. And again, I wouldn't look too much into last night's loss. You know, I think they'll bounce back on Saturday, like John said, and be business as usual.
John, final thought?
The AD Instagram post. I had to bring it up because we're always talking about AD because obviously we're Celtics fans and the Death Star, the Los Angeles Lakers, they're going after him.
So AD liked an Instagram post saying that it was a picture of Anthony Davis and the Lakers and said that Anthony Davis doesn't want to go to your bum team. He's happy here. Anthony Davis liked it. Personally, I don't really care. I mean, Instagram posts, how much people look into it. I'm not one that really looks into it that much. Being a 19-year-old who doesn't really do social media that much, very rare nowadays, but I don't really care. I've seen Anthony Davis like posts about him in a Lakers uniform and then him not in a Lakers uniform. So whatever. Right.
This is just great. It's calm cool how these guys, they do this on purpose. To do this to fans, to get people like us and Stephen A. Smith and everybody talking about it. So they, can laugh. So they can laugh at it when
well, and Nolan, he is on the New Orleans Pelicans. He has to show right? some loyalty. And yeah. They might be chasing the Lakers for a playoff spot. So when somebody calls the Lakers bums, he's competing against the Lakers. So, of course, he's going to like. So, I mean, at the end of the day, if he really doesn't have any say on if they trade him to the Lakers. He'll just have to roll with it because
we keep talking about this trade and all this stuff with New Orleans. One, he's always said that he likes it there. He wants them to compete more, but he likes it there. And two, he's going to pass up so much money if he doesn't stay. That's got to be.
I kind of hope he stays. I'm tired of the NBA where stars are jumping ship. But if he doesn't stay, obviously you want him to come to Boston. As long as it doesn't mean Tatum, I'll just say that much.
Exactly. And look for Jaylen on Saturday. Like I said, might not show up in the score sheet, but I think he's going to come out and be really, really motivated.
All right. One last thing, everybody. Pulse Podcast Network app is now available and live on iTunes and Google Play. So go ahead and download that. Have this podcast along with, you know, dozens of other awesome podcasts, you know, everything from sports to entertainment, pop culture, wrestling, whatever you're into. Yeah. Other than that, you guys have a great weekend. Go Celts.
Go Celts.